They say, by Yomim Ahem, Sha'asa Nisim Laviseinu, by Yomim Ahem, Bezman Hazeh. And we have to understand, what does this mean? By Yomim Ahem, Bezman Hazeh. If you ask anyone, they say, oh my gosh, you have to understand the nays that happened by Yomim Ahem. There was what? The oil burnt beers. Rabim Yad Matim. I don't know if anyone understands what went on by the war of the Netzachim. Right? What does Rashi tell us? Zaysav Racha was 13. Rashi explains how they ended up having 13. They recruited and they fought the entire Greek Assyrian army. I don't think we ever have saga what that means. And as I mentioned, I don't know if you know what these 13 people look like. Not like the Maccabees. I know that the Maccabees named their team after these 13 people called the Maccabees, but if they knew what these people looked like, they would change the name tomorrow. 13 Rabbonim walked, and literally somehow they went running. And there was one of the incredible Nisim. And we talk about those Bayam Mahem Basman is that. I want to ask you an honest question. Which one of those two Nisim do we celebrate much more than the other one? The nays of the oil or the nays of the milchama that we won the war? The oil. We celebrate the nays of oil much more. Everyone eats deep fried foods. Very few people eat weapon shaped cookies. You ever happen? They come on and there's like these sword shaped cookies, shield shaped cookies, because you want to celebrate the nays of the milchama. Yeah. Somehow the deep fry. The oil, the menorah, but no, all jokes aside, Bachrim, which one was so much more important? One saved Klal Yisrael from getting annihilated because we started a war with them. The other one is they're all without oil. By the way, if I can make the question even stronger, was there even a reason for the whole nace of the oil? We all know that Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. What does that mean? The whole Tzibur is Tumah, you're allowed to use Tumah oil. Afi halacha, you're allowed to use tamei oil. They didn't need a mace.
Did they have any
tamei oil? Yeah, tons of tamei oil. All the oil there was just tamei. No, it was tons of tamei oil. They didn't want to. And they looked, and they didn't want to give up, and they looked to find tar oil, and they found one. By the way, just so you know, what's the reason that every one of us lights mahadrim and amahadrim? The only mitzvah you have that everyone does the higher level. No one does the basic level of the mitzvah. It's Chanukah. Every other mitzvah creates hadar, yeah? It says in the Torah, tree hadar. It's a beautiful fruit. Many people are very happy with what? Basic. Matzah, people are very happy with basic matzah. The only mitzvah in the Torah that says there's mahadrim, min ha-mahadrim, and every single yid in the world does what? Mahadrim, min ha-mahadrim, is Chanukah. And what? No, everything's deeper in Yiddishkeit. One, which is every single person lights a menorah and it goes up every day. Regular is one person lights menorah, one candle per night. Or everyone lights, goes up one night. One person lights for the whole house, going up. We light, every person then goes up is called mahadrin, min ha-mahadrin. And every single person does it. Why? And the way I always heard it from my Rebbeim was, because since the whole reason, that the whole nes was a nes of mahadrin. Because we really didn't need the nace. We could have lit with regular oil. So it comes out that Hashem's whole entire nace was what? Was mahadrin. He made, you could have used regular tamei oil. I made a nace for mahadrin. So how do we respond? Mahadrin, but not mahadrin. Okay. But here's my question. And by the way, it's not my question. I saw this question in the Ran, the Hilik Ran, one of the Rishonim. Why is it that we make so much greater issue or a celebration out of the nace of the oil, which was not even mandatory? But the nace of being saved, you don't understand what it means. 13 people against the whole Greek army, 13 Rabbonim, holding Baba Kamas and Baba Matzias, fighting. You have to understand what it looked like. They're sitting there holding their Gemaras, walking, and the Greeks are running. Like, what does it mean? Is the Ram's question clear? Why is it that we celebrate the oil more? You understand the question? Why is it that the nays of the oil celebrated? And the Ran says something which is the most amazing MS of our human nature. And he says, because the nace of the oil had zero human intervention. And the nace of the Muhammad, although it was 13 people, they were still human beings. And whenever there's human involvement, Hashem gets pushed to the side and they attribute the success to the humans. This, there were 13 people who went out to fight, yeah. So everyone says, oh, they were very good. But the nace of the oil, you can't say any human involvement. There was no human involvement. So he says, that's why we can celebrate that nace. But listen to what he says. And I always thought, really? Even a nace that's so crazy of 13 people, the Ran tells us people are going to attribute to the humans. And I want to tell you something. I was once said this Ran over in the Shir. Why do we celebrate? And I said, one of the people in the Shir, who was a good friend of mine, not alive anymore, says, Rabbi Halpern, of course the Jews won. Guerrilla warfare, it always works. You know what guerrilla warfare is? Guerrilla warfare is when you don't have an army or a country, you just have terrorists running around independently and fight and terrorize. And I remember listening to this guy say, guerrilla warfare always works. He did exactly what the Ran said. He, in his mind, said the reason why 13 rabbis could win, all these Jews could build for us. So what did he just do? He just proved the Ran true. Know what? That when there's human beings involved. So this is why the Ran says, what nace do we make a much bigger deal out of? The nace of the Shemar.
People can see even more here. The humans look hard and they
found out. No, that wasn't the nace. The nace was they actively went and matama everything. Abacham, I think the year Topshin Pei Vav, we have the same exact problem. Okay? Now, I don't know if you don't remember the Six-Day War. It was 1967. I don't think you were born then.
A little bit.
Okay. You know that after the Six-Day War, all the Kiryat Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael invested into real estate because they figured there's going to be such an influx of Bali Tshuva. The Six-Day War, in one line or less, I hold it a mitzvah to read about the Six-Day War, by the way. The Israeli army did everything wrong possible. And whatever they did wrong turned into a nace. If you think I'm exaggerating, the secular general, Moshe Dayan, who believed in zero, Oichel Novelos and Dreymus on Yom Kippur, had, as much as he wanted to take credit, he said it was a miracle. He was mighty. There was no. So the Oilom and Eretz Yisrael, you speak to people who remember it, and I spoke to people who remember this. They said everyone's becoming from. There's no one in the world who's not being from by the time. How could you not become from? And the enemy did a whole bunch of things and everything just fell flat. There was the entire, I think, Jordan, what's it called? The guy, I think it was the Jordanians. They had a full, hundreds of airplanes ready to shoot. By mistake, they switched the code, the frequency to the, and they forgot, even they saw this, Israel before started, went and bombed out the entire pictures of it. The whole aircraft, because of a bad mistake that they switched the code and no one got the message. It's like out of if it was a movie, by the way, it wouldn't sell. Because it was so silly. It's like a Curious George story. Everyone does everything wrong and he turns into a hero. The Israeli army botched up one after the other. Whatever they did, turned into a thing. And guess what happened? Nobody came from. I'll tell you something that I do remember. I remember the Gulf War, okay? Ask your parents about the Gulf War, okay? In 1991, Iraq shot Scud missiles at Eretz Yisrael. Not one. 39. Each Scud missile was like a little apartment building. Dude, these three floors. You can't imagine how these things were. Okay? Iraq shot them at Eretz Yisrael. And you know what the statistic was? 0 for 39. Not just 0 for success. They did it. Not one person died. Not one casualty from the missile directly. It happened to be there were one or two casualties of people one person never had a heart attack from fear. I still remember who it was, and one person never tripped on the way running into the, they had these gas rooms. They thought that there was gas poisons. You know, every single person that saw had a gas mask. You have to see pictures of it. It looked like it was very scary. It turned out the whole thing was still something. They were convinced that Iraq had what's called weapons of mass. It's called the WMDs, weapons of mass destruction. What was the thing? It's not the point. The point was they came. There are pictures. You're welcome to try to find them. A lot of folks had them that day of Scuds hitting apartment buildings. Not one person died. They went through their apartment. Somehow they didn't die. Not one. So people say, yeah, the Iraqis don't know how to shoot them. That's why. Okay. Well, they did hit. Iraq shot those exact missiles at Iran. I don't know if you know this. It was an 8-year war between Iraq and Iran from 1981 to 1988. It was an 8-year war. And Iraq shot these at Iran one after the other. And every time it hit Iran, it would be hundreds of people killed. No problem. Came to Israel now. So you would say, but guess what? It didn't happen. Why? I went to something called the Patriot missile. The Patriot missiles went ahead and fought them. But the ones that didn't get stopped also did no damage. So everyone thought everyone's becoming from an Israel. This I remember vividly. I was in Israel right after that. My family went. People, why not? Now you say you don't understand it, right? So I'm going to explain it to you now. Because we're in Tavshin Pei Vav, I'm going to explain it to you. You ready? Because you witnessed miracles that were greater than that this year. And you also don't think it's normal. Iran shot ballistic missiles at Eretz Yisrael. And we're sitting here by Yavam Mehem Bazman Hazeh. I want you to understand that we are doing the same thing again. We're celebrating Nisim Yom Mehem. Really, we should be celebrating Bazman Hazeh. Iran shot ballistic missiles. Once, twice, they hit zero. Unfortunately, the third time, they got a few through, and every time they did, what happened? A few. They had like 97% they blocked, but they wanted to, each one destroyed buildings. And you know what people say? Yeah! We have the what? Iron Dome! Does anyone know what percentage?
Still, they didn't predict that high.
They didn't predict that high. Everyone said, every secular and Israeli, after the attacks in Iran, said, Nisim Goyim. I want to tell you something else. Those same Iron Domes are being used in Ukraine against Russian missiles. The same exact.
They work.
And they're working at 40%, 40-45%. And they do work.
Yeah.
The same thing. And a secular yid, by the way, in case you're not sure, I think I shared the story that happened over the summer. One of the most beautiful stories that happened this summer. One of my rebbeim said it over. Rabbi Lipa Geldworth shared the story. That there was a it was right after this the Iran missiles in the summer, and there was a yeshivish guy, Kyle guy, who was shopping on a Friday in the store. Remember the story? And he was shopping, and then a secular guy behind him tapped him on the shoulder, and he said, "Can I pay for your bill?" And he said, "No, like whatever." He felt weird. A secular guy, shaven head. I mean, no. Finally, he tells like, "What do you want to pay my bill for?" He said, "I'll tell you why." So I was just in Ukraine for 6 months working. I was sent there by the Israeli government to help Ukraine against Russia. And he says, I manned the Iron Dome missiles. And that's how I know this percentage. He said they were running our most successful percentage on barrages of missiles were 40-45%. That's what he said. He said those same technicians and those same Iron Domes are hitting 95-100% depending. He said, there is no way to explain other than the fact that you guys are learning Torah here. So he asked this Kailo guy, can I please pay for your groceries? Because I have no other way to say thank you to people learning Torah. This is a secular yid. So Bacham, really, we should all become from Ur. We witness Nisim, but you know, when we look back, we say, oh, you six-day war people. You guys were so blind. You didn't see the Nisim? And then we'll go look back at the Gulf War people. You're so blind, you didn't see it. And then look at the case, 2015, there was 4,000 missiles shot in from Gaza. And not one casualty. 4,000 missiles in, 3,000 were taken down by the Iron Dome. The other 1,000 fell, by the way. But I love it, in the open areas. You ever heard that one? It fell in open areas. Do you know how many open areas are in the whole Eretz Israel? Like about 2 feet. It's the most highly densely populated country in the world. I love it. 1,000 missiles fall into open areas. But the truth is, there were more open areas. That's why they weren't shot down. How many casualties? Read up 2015. The head of Hamas. I've said this before. I don't know if the Mamadis was interviewed. I saw the clip. My mom showed me this clip. On CNN, he was interviewed. And he said, their Elohim, those are his exact words, is watching over them. They were 0 for 4,000. He's an open Nisim in our times. And then we see the Iranian missiles, ballistic missiles, ballistic missiles. since I'm a kid for 40 years, everyone's just talking about ballistic missiles. When those ballistic missiles come, Eretz Yisrael's finished. They came. We're here. Does anyone know how many missiles Hezbollah shot from the north since October 7th? The number a year ago was 26,000. Casualties, I think there were two direct hits, which is a lot. I'm not undermining. What happened to the other 26? Some were taken down, some... The IDF admitted they were expecting from those missiles. They were at every house on the border of Syria had missiles. They found this after they went in there. Hezbollah had missils. They shot over 20,000 missiles. Nothing happened. Do you understand what kind of nisim we're living through? But what? Just understand that that's what... Now you want to know Pshat and the Ram? You know why we celebrate the Nates of the Shemen and not the Nates of the Maccabees, of the Chashmonaim? Because everyone says, nah, that's not real. It was the army. We're doing the same thing today. Bokhrim, I'd like to ask you for a favor. Tonight when you're lighting menorah, and you make the bracha. Sha'asan nisim la'voiseinu. Ayomim ohem. You're going to think, wow, so many. But as man is there, you're not going to have anything to think about. I'm telling you, we're living through times that are just as great nisim. It's, by the way, having the fact that Israel exists today is the same exact percentage-wise around the billion Arabs that live around them. Same percent as the 13 against the Greek army, as Rashi says, was Asari is a lot from tens of thousands. It's a bigger nace. But today, yeah, Israel, really? What was the most secure side of all Israeli sides? The one to Gaza. $1.5 billion wall. It cost it $1.5 billion to build the most sophisticated wall. By the way, it's still today in the entire world of security considered the most biggest security masterpiece. The wall between Gaza and Israel. That was it. That was the ultimate Kaychi Baitim Yadi. No one's ever going to penetrate to Gaza. You know how they got through, by the way? Little paragliders, they used metal pliers to get through it. Well, yeah, they played with it. Don't give me stories how they did it. Why did Hashem make Deisha do that? You should understand that our existence in Eretz Yisrael is Kulei Neis. We make a shtadlus. We have to be, we make a toif to all their shtadlus. And then we're davening for our soldiers. And we have a curse of toif to our soldiers. And that's not the point of this conversation. Remember, you're living through times of Nisim greater than the times of the Makim. But that you remember. This somehow we forget. This is why we do the Nes of the Shaman, because that was untouched by humans. Once human beings touch, what happens? Everything gets ruined. Try to make sure that you don't get affected by the culture of everything is the Derech HaTeva. This is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mr. Shem should have an incredible, beautiful Hanukkah.